Station. It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the busy Wednesday Homer Hour. That means Jason Woolley in a few minutes, but Rain Man is first. 1-800-990-3776. 15 questions. Recently, you have a kind of a good idea as to what the topic might be. Can't tell you specifically what it will be, but it is not. Is it 5:00? Yo, it is 5:02. The Milwaukee Brewers. Hold on 1 second here. This what are they? IT? Who are those people? Okay, what do I do?
What's wrong?
They haven't done anything. They haven't changed anything. What is the point? What do they do? How long ago did I ask that this get solved? Have they done? Has anybody come down and looked at anything? The answer is no to everything. Correct.
That's my understanding.
Okay, well then what do I have to do to have somebody come down here to help me fix?
Did it work yesterday?
No, it's only worked when I've come up with my own way. Nobody solved the issue of what it was set up before. So what do I have to do to get somebody to help?
I will shoot a note right now.
Okay, and the last note didn't do anything, correct?
I guess so. I guess so.
I mean, I'm not making this up. I'm just wondering what the hell goes on? What do you have to do to get somebody to come here and help? That's all I'm asking. What do we do? What do I do? One 800-990-3776. Rain Man. You win an ESPN prize pack. We have 15 questions, 2 minutes, and you might have questions about one topic. By the way, I apologize. I didn't take care of business. The Brewers are home tonight. The Miz is not pitching. And is the Dome open or closed? You can always check. You go to YouTube, ESPN Milwaukee, Homer Hour. And you will find out at 5:02 if the Dome is open or closed. You got to go to YouTube. And if you do, you will now have an answer as to whether the Dome is open or closed. I want to apologize. That was just, I just totally lost it. It's wrong. And I'm apologizing. You're not required to accept the apology, but I did this once before, and I said I won't do it again, and I did, and I'm sorry. That's just, it's just wrong. All right, caller number 5, 1-800-990-3776. Rain Man, and Rain Man is brought to you, and was brought to you for a long time by Cousin Subs. Always like to thank them from time to time. And also, Saganiac Planning, named synonymous with employee benefits and top-notch service, and they've been doing it well for over 50 years. That's why they are so good at what they do, because it can get complicated, employee benefits. But if you've been doing it well for over 50 years, you could be as good as Saganiac Planning is. So Saganiac Planning, appropriately a name synonymous with employee benefits, top-notch service, and doing it well for over 50 years. The number, call Saganiac Planning at 262-783-ROGER-MARIS, Roger Maris, 61-61, as is the process every night. The Miz is not pitching tonight. At some point, it can figure out a way to tell you maybe when he's pitching next, but I'm not sure I want to do that. I just want to know that every day we get up, the first thing you want to know each day is the Miz pitching today. Rain Man, 1-800-990-3776. Jason Wilde will be on at 5:15. And then Mike DeCourcy, who's covered college basketball for almost as many years as I am old, and can discuss all that's going on about the possible changes. I think it was today that Nick Saban was talking in front of Congress saying that I believe Alabama spent $40 million. And as he's done in the past, he seems to have a pretty good understanding of what will happen. But it's he doesn't even say that it can't continue. He says it will continue, but could affect other sports. But I think it's probably the closest anybody has come to publicly saying how much is being spent. Football, $40 million plus, somewhere in that area. And basketball seems about $20 million. But I don't know what Marquette spends, and I don't know what Wisconsin spends, because nobody says anything. Saban is doing it, I assume, because their hope of getting some kind of legislation that would help limit the amount of money that's spent. Rain Man, 1-800-990-3776. Caller number 5, we have Al in Racine. Al, good evening. You're on Rain Man. Your resume, please.
Hey, what's up, Homer? I played twice. I think I got a 4 and a 6.
All right. The first question, how do you feel you'll do tonight? Or do you not want to make a prediction?
I think I'm going to do a little better than that sixth spot, so I'm feeling good.
The first question is the Saganiac Planning Marquette trivia question, because they're such great supporters of Marquette. The other 14 can be about anything I choose. Yeah, got any questions, or are you ready to go?
I'm ready to roll.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go. Where did Shaka Smart coach the year before coming to Marquette?
VCU?
Incorrect. The Miz is how old?
24.
Correct. 2022 baseball draft. The Miz was picked number what?
63.
Correct. How many regular season games did the Miz win last year?
5.
Correct. How many games regular season wins for the Miz this year?
He's 6-2. 6.
Correct. 71 innings this year. How many hits has he given up within 5? Hits, 71 innings.
I would say 58.
That is incorrect. 71 innings this year. How many strikeouts within 5?
108.
108 is correct. The Miz, spell his last name, first 4 letters.
M-I-S-I.
Correct. Wemby of San Antonio. How old?
22.
Correct. 2023 NBA draft. Wemby was number 1. Who was the second player taken?
Pass.
Wikipedia says Wemby is how tall?
7'4".
Correct. Last year, the New York Knicks won the NBA title.
False.
Give me the last year the Knicks won the NBA title.
Pass.
The last year the New York Knicks got to an NBA final.
Pass.
Coach, the last year the Knicks got to the NBA final.
Oh, geez. Pass.
Only team to lose to the Knicks in the NBA finals.
The Spurs.
Incorrect. Oh, we got a lot of passes. Ooh, at the end, they got harder. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 8. 8, we got 8? All right. 8 it is. You were looking strong. You're apparently not much of a follower. I mentioned the NBA Finals because you don't have to be a fan of the Knicks to understand how crazy New York is over the possibility that they could win when you learn how long it's been. Where did Shaka Smart coach the year before coming to Marquette, eh?
Texas.
Texas is correct. The Miz is 24. He is pick number 63.
First time that one's been right, I think.
I think you're right. How many regular season games did he win last year? 5. He's already got 6 this year. 71 innings. How many hits has he given up?
Not a lot.
Take a pick.
14.
30 or 71 innings. He has given up 37 hits. One every other inning. 71 innings this year. Al knew it. He has 108 strikeouts. The Miz, M-I-S-I. We'll work on it. Wemby of San Antonio is, in fact, 22. 2023 NBA draft. Wemby was the first. Who was second? This is.
I have no idea.
Brandon Miller.
Oh, sure. Charlotte. Yeah.
Alabama. Yes. Wikipedia says he's 7'4". I thought he was 7'5". Last year, the Knicks won an NBA title.
False. 1973.
Nicely done. 1973. Think of that. 50-some years. The last year they even got to the finals.
This is a rematch of the 1999 finals.
That it is. Coach, that year, the last year the New York Knicks got to the NBA finals.
Oh, 99. I don't know.
Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy.
Really?
That's correct.
Oh.
Riley got them to the finals, I think, before that, or I'd have to look. The only team to lose to the Knicks in the NBA finals.
Well, it would have had to be in 70 and 6, because they won 2, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Same team both times?
Yep.
Oh, this is just a shot in the dark. I have no idea. How about the, let's go west, how about the Trailblazers?
The Lakers. And in fact, sure, 1 year, the Lakers beat the Knicks. They played in the finals, I think, 3 of 4 years. I've got to look to see. I'm guessing that Riley must have gotten the Knicks into the finals before 99, like 94. I think he got him once, and they lost to Houston.
I could check on that.
Yes, it was the year that Michael Jordan didn't play. One of the 2 years Jordan was out, so that would have been, 94. 94, 95. All right, Al, are you still there?
I am, Homer.
How do you grade yourself?
I think I did good. I mean, I'm a homer for Wisconsin sports teams. I don't really follow the Knicks that much.
Understandable. I'm just trying to educate people who have no understanding of how crazy New York is. And I think was on the morning show nationally, as somebody said that the parade would be twice as big as it was when the Giants won. And I would say probably so. But well, congratulations, Al. You win because we don't have a standard yet. I'll work on that. That's on me as to what you have to get, but you admit it. So you win the ESPN prize package. Do we send that to Al, or does he have to come pick that up?
I believe we send it, but don't mark my words on that. Right. ESPNWisconsinContest.com might have the answer to that question.
But Al, you are a winner. And on Twitter, full court pass, whatever that is, the Bucks' preference is to extend Giannis. According to one person, I don't think that's true, but I'm not sure. I do have a bet at Ted's. For anybody who wants to bet that Giannis is coming back, I said he's not coming back. No one has done that, but somebody did, which I can do. I can't do anything on the show. Somebody, we do have a bet for charity for like St. Jude's or something. Whoever loses, if he comes back. Everybody would be happy. I don't know. Maybe there are a certain percentage of people that don't want him to come back. The only question there, and the only question that I would have is the reason to not want him back is fear of injuries. You just feel that he, at this point in his career, his age, that he's just, too often hurt. I would think the preference would be to send him to the West. Because one, you don't play him, and the West is going to have to deal with Wemby for how many years now? And if he chooses to, everybody would agree that Giannis can guard Wemby. There's probably no better person on the planet to guard him. And if you feel like you have to handle Wemby in order to win the West, then I would think any of those teams would be interested in getting Giannis, because that's, okay, I'm playing San Antonio. I got that. What's the first thing I have to do? I got to deal with him. I got to deal with him and take care of him as far as offensively. And then defensively, Giannis can back him down and score. Giannis can score on Wemby. So it would be a spectacular battle between the two. But I don't know that that's necessarily what Oklahoma City wants to do. But if I'm the Bucks, I want to send him west. And the West, any of those teams should want him because of the battle that would exist between him and Wemby. Jason Wilde, next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. On the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time, three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. Thus, he has his own Yingling Hotline, the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. Good evening, Jason. How are you doing?
Great. How are you, Homer?
I'm
Thanks
fine.
For asking. That
sure.
was unexpected.
Yep.
No one quite ready for that, yeah.
All right. How much of the information about Micah Parsons and how long he is out is new to you, or was it four, now it's six, or how do you view this?
Yeah, no, I don't view it as putting a clear-cut number of games on it. I think, first of all, you know, I think there was, and if you look at the fact that Patrick Mahomes appears that he's on track to be, at least this is being the way it's being presented by the Chiefs and by him, that he's on track to be ready for the season. I find that hard to believe, but that's what we're, you know, being presented with. The fact that Adrian Peterson came back in like 6 months, right? The year that he won the MVP. I think there were folks that were thinking that Micah Parsons might be back by opening day and that he might find a way to overcome the odds and be good to go. And I think the number one thing that came out of today was that unequivocally, that's not happening. Okay. Like, he is not playing in the opener. I think we can say that for certain. When he says it is that he has been given a 9-month no football rule, that means September 29th is the end of that non-football rule. Now, does that mean he won't even practice until September 29th, or that's when he will be allowed to potentially play in a game? He didn't say that. Wasn't clear. All he said was that it was a no football rule.
Has the no football rule? Is that a Packer thing, or is it a?
That's what his doctors and the team's okay. training staff and medical staff arrived upon. Because you, astute point by you, not everyone has a hard and fast rule, but they've apparently given him this very specific 9 months, and he had the surgery on December 29th, so that means he will hit the 9-month mark on September 29th. Now, what that means in terms of could he play right away on October 4th in Tampa? Yeah, maybe. But then, subsequently, you know, he was asked about the idea of being back in time for October 11th against the Bears, a team that beat them twice, obviously, last season. And he had a watch as a spectator. And then the following week against Dallas on Sunday Night Football, his former team. And the fact that he hedged even on that, you know, tells me that we know that he won't be doing anything until September 29th. And whatever happens after that is still up in the air. It could be sooner, it could be later. And that, to me, is why it was significant what he said today.
And how much of this was him adding a procedure to clean up his meniscus? I don't know if anybody knew that before, as to that having any input on the 9-month rule.
Yeah. I mean, he did say that, you know, obviously it's one thing to have just a ACL tear, clean ACL tear, which I believe is the case with Tucker Kraft. I know Tucker Kraft didn't have other damage. I know Tucker Kraft suffered the injury, you know, 5 weeks earlier, almost 6 weeks earlier than Parsons did. But everyone is different. And so, you know, he made it very clear that he can't look at his timeline and compare it to Tucker's. But he didn't say how much of the timeline was impacted by the additional issue of the meniscus tear. That he did not specifically address.
This will be a Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. How many games do you believe that Micah Parsons will miss at the beginning of the season? I'm seeing what my choices are. Less than four, 4 to 6, more than six.
I don't want to say stunned.
Surprised.
I'd be very surprised if he missed six or more.
Yeah.
Like, I think, you know, the high end is six. Like, because he wasn't specific about this, let's say it's a 9-month rule for any sort of football exercises. So obviously, you hit the September 29th, they've played three games. They played the previous Thursday on the 24th of September. He starts practicing, ramping up, doesn't play in Tampa, plays against the Bears on October 11th at Lambeau. The other scenario would be September 29th is the first practicing. He doesn't play in Tampa, doesn't play against the Bears, starts to really get his groove back in time for Dallas. Then the third scenario would be he's not ready for Dallas or Chicago, and he plays that following week, which is October 25th or something like that. If he misses more than six games, that, based on his timeline, that would be surprising, and that would indicate to me that there was some sort of setback.
Yeah, I
think he's missing four.
Four to six. He's going to play against Dallas. I just can't see him missing that game.
I wouldn't think so. And what I would say is, and I had somebody, I can't remember which platform it was, say, well, we all knew that he was going to miss the first four games. And, well, we didn't know that. You may have believed that. You may have expected that. You may have assumed that. But, again, when I walked out of the locker room on January 12th or whatever it was when they cleaned out their lockers, like, He acknowledged he was not going to be ready for the opener. He understood that. But he had made it his goal to be back before the end of the month of September. And the way the calendar falls and the way the Thursday night game falls, that meant now that we have the schedule, missing the road game at Minnesota, the road game against the Jets, and then missing week three at Lambeau on Thursday night against Atlanta. But there is no fourth September game that he could have come back for based on how the schedule fell. But for him, I think his mentality was, you know, I want to be back before October. And now I think we know that that is not going to happen. Now the question is, how far into October does he come back? And I thought he was very good, too, talking about, look, you know, and you look at the way their season went and the way they stumbled down the stretch. They never won another game after he got hurt. I think the thought process is if we can inside the building is if we can tread water while we don't have him, but we have him for the stretch run, not only are we going to have him for the most important games, but maybe we have a finishing kick instead of a finishing spiral.
This part, I don't know what to believe, but I tend to believe him in that. I can see him being willing to sit out because of it's not like this year or bust.
Well, I thought he had a really good answer about windows. I had asked him whether or not
Pella. You know, he brought up Pella windows. Wow, that's
he did not. He did no. No window specific. No window brand expressly. Right. But what he did say was that when I when I said, you said you haven't made peace with the injury. Have you made peace with the way the season ended? I mean, you guys were 9-3-1 in Denver. You're leading the number one seed in the AFC. You get hurt. You guys never win another game. And I thought it was telling. He said, the whole God closes a door, opens a window. You get 4 to 5 year windows. And I think that's what he's saying is they have this 4 to 5 year window since acquiring him last August 28th. And yes, the first year they were in really good position and it sucks that they didn't get to where he believes they could have gone. But what you don't want to do is now squander another year within that window by coming back too soon, getting hurt, and then this year's a wasted year. And then now you're hoping for 2027 to be the year during that window, and you're down to year three of a 4 to 5 year window. So I think his mentality is the window is very much open this year. If we can get in and I'm playing healthy at the end of the season and I'm playing at my peak level, we can do whatever it takes. If that means winning on the road, whatever else. I mean, look, let's not forget. Packers have won one playoff game the last 3 years. They're 1-3. Micah Parsons didn't play in any of those games for them. None. Zero. Nunca. So they have him back in the fourth quarter. He's chasing down Matthew Stafford. He's chasing down they could have really used him in the fourth quarter, obviously, in Chicago against Caleb Williams. I think he feels like they can win anywhere against anyone if they have him playing when the games really matter.
I want to ask about the new general manager of the Vikings. That would be John Schneider's assistant. He has no name. That's just what he is. But we'll save that for...
Well, I will just say this because I know you want to get to DeCourcy. He's like the anti-Schneider, like in terms of, and he started out the same way.
Exactly. Wrote a letter to be an intern.
But Schneider's kind of this big personality, the picture of him with the wrestling belt in the locker room after they won their first Super Bowl of his tenure. And this guy, my buddy Judd Zolgad in Minneapolis, told me that this guy barely answered any questions. So he definitely does not have John Schneider's personality, but as his right-hand man, the Vikings are certainly hoping that he has John Schneider's acumen.
Yeah, ability to judge talent.
Yep.
We'll see. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. He made mention of Mike DeCourcy, who's going to come on a little bit later on the show. Long time reporter in college basketball and sporting news. He said he's retiring, but I don't think he has officially retired yet. That'll be in a few minutes. Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. It's a family business owned since 1931. It's not what they do. It's who they are. They're so good because they still own the business and they're still doing the work on the cars. It's the Fiscos. Yep. You take your car in. Which Fisco's working on this one? That's a legitimate question. Expert workmanship guaranteed for the life of your vehicle. Any damage, Fisco has you covered. Again, Fisco Auto Body on Forest Home in Franklin. Fisco, Fisco, Fisco. So you remember the name. Did want to mention again that Jason Wilde was on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. Milwaukee weight loss hasn't changed. I started at 229 in early January. I'm now at 205. Today, it might have been 205 and a half. How have I done it? I eat less and I'm happy eating less. There's nothing crazy. Yeah, but you got to do this. Yeah, but you got to do this. There's no but. The program is eat less the way they give you a choice to do it, and I'm okay eating less. For me, the key was a salad dressing with no sugar. You don't have sugar in the first couple of months. And a barbecue sauce with no sugar. So I can put that on any of the protein. I can eat salads 24 hours a day. And that's made the difference why I can eat less and happy eating less. As those are a couple options I have within the program. Only because I like that particular salad dressing, and barbecue sauce. It may be a little different for you. For a limited time, get $200 off with a Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Again, $200 off. Results may vary, but hasn't changed. I look forward to telling you in 3 months, in 6 months, in 9 months, and I am certain I will weigh within a pound or two of what I'm at now, because you get any weight loss program that you can eat less and you're happy eating less, you will lose weight. The like eating less is the hard part because that tends to change. It hasn't for me in February, March, April, May. That were 4 months and going. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The busy Homer Hour. Joining us now is Mike DeCourcy. I don't know how many, all the things that he's done. We wouldn't have time to talk to him, but I did see back in March he said, I'm retiring after 26 years as senior writer at the Sporting News. I don't think he's officially retired. In fact, I would hope he would come on here every so often to just give us an update on what the hell is going on with college basketball and football. Mike, good evening. Thanks for coming on. Are you retired or not officially?
No, my time frame is to retire at the end of the World Cup. So I still have six and a half.
Oh, that's right. You do soccer too. Have you always been a soccer guy or did you?
My soccer story could fill your time, but I grew up around the same time you did when it barely existed in the United States.
Other than Pele.
And yeah, right. He popped in, said hi, and then left.
Yep.
And around 1990, I said it finally was going to be on television here with, you know, pretty much the entire thing. And I told myself, the rest of the world thinks this is the coolest thing in the on the planet. So I have to find out what this is about. And I watched, my plan was to watch as much as I could stand, and I got completely hooked and got the opportunity to start writing about it about a little less than 15 years ago, and I really enjoyed it.
All right. Now we'll get to college sports, because I have said for some time the NCAA knew this was going to happen, and they said we'll just let it go on as long as we can. We know the money's so much and players should get paid, but we'll just hold off as long as we can. And then it went bad, and they can't say that because that would make them look stupid, and I think that was their plan. And you said when we talked, Homer, you're wrong. They could have solved this. They chose not to. You can tell everybody else I'm wrong because I just want to know.
Well, I think we kind of are agreeing there. They could have solved it, and I think you're agreeing with that they chose not to.
But I didn't think there was a way that they could solve it, because once they solve it by saying you can pay players, then you can't – you open that up, and then it's over. And they knew once they did it, then – but that is what you said, no. They were greedy with what they wanted to get. Am I correct?
Well, I can tell you this, that when the O'Bannon case – was, I don't know what the language is. I'm not a lawyer. Let's say
this was the case where the players at O'Bannon being one, they had a video game and they didn't get any money and they used their names and right?
Yes. Okay. Exactly. And so it went to trial in 2014. I remember this well, cause I was actually in Brazil covering the World Cup when that thing was starting to really heat up in court, I think in California. But once it was basically set to go to trial, the attorneys for the plaintiffs, for the O'Bannon class, they didn't want to go to trial. I think they knew they were going to win, but they didn't want to go to trial. It costs money, all that.
They just wanted a little money for the players?
So they wanted to go and settle this and talk to the NCAA about a settlement that would provide some compensation for the athletes, especially in areas like this. But
and it was actually legitimate name, image, and likeness, not to be confused with the garbage that covers that now.
Right. Yes, not to be there's I say there are two classes of NIL. There is Cooper Flag NIL, which is Gatorade and State Farm and New Balance, etc. And then there's collective NIL, which is the boosters gather a bunch of money and have it available to compensate the players, and then they try to find a way.
Right.
To
and there's nothing they're doing that on in the free market that would generate that kind of money for them.
Other than hoop, which is a factor. And so the attorneys for the O'Bannon class wanted to speak about a settlement, and it would not have involved what we're seeing now. And not only did they decline the settlement offer, Steve, they refused to take the meeting. That's just, I will never, of all the stories I've ever written in my entire career, which is 45 years, that's the one that I'm still astounded
because
by.
They knew that maybe players should be, and this was a way to delay it or prevent that from occurring because there was a legitimate, getting paid for jerseys and stuff, right? This might have been the start toward addressing that and getting some appropriate money for players based on fair market value. Right,
but in 1985, I think it was, or 86, when the biggest NCAA case ever was settled or adjudicated in the Supreme Court, it was about the NCAA controlling television rights, and universities of Oklahoma and Georgia sued to get the rights to their own games, basically, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the schools. But in that decision, there was one justice who said that amateurism was a concept worth protecting. In so many words, that was the justice's statement. And the NCAA stood on that for decades. Look, Supreme Court said so. We're good. And that's how we got here, that to the point where in 2021, I think it was, when the Alston case was decided. And the Alston case is the one that's even more bizarre than the O'Bannon case, because in the Alston case, college athletes sued to get more compensation academically, basically. There were rules against, you couldn't give an athlete a computer.
Things that were being done to help athletes.
Yeah, couldn't do it. If you're like Wake Forest, when my nephew started there, he went there for 1 year. When he went there, every student got a computer. So every athlete got a computer. But if you didn't do that for everybody, then you couldn't do it for athletes.
Yeah.
And so that Alston case goes to the Supreme Court, and the NCAA loses 9-0. And in that, Thomas Kavanaugh said that statement that had been made 35 years earlier, or whatever it was basically just what they called dicta, which means, again, not a lawyer here for those listening, but means it's just kind of adjacent to the point, but not really the point.
And shouldn't have been used for all that time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And
then everybody went, oh, baby.
And this is where we are now. And we could be, look.
Well, that's my next question. I wanted to go through that because I want people to understand it. But now, where are we at today? What do you want to say? Because it's impossible to know because they won't say anything. But we know people are they're talking in front of Congress to try to get something, I would assume, that would create rules that aren't in existence now.
Right. And what bothers me about this, Homer, is that this really started to percolate in the summer of 2022. So we are 4 years out from that when a basketball player went, I think, from Kansas State to Miami for an $800,000 guarantee in 2 years. And then, and this there was supposed to be some sort of again, there was to be work done on behalf of a particular company that one of the boosters owned, et cetera, et cetera. But he went for about $800,000. And that seems quaint now. It's only been 4 years. And that seems pretty low for a starting shooting guard on what became a Final Four team. But if you go then and start then working on some sort of collective bargaining process.
Who do you bargain with?
With the athletes.
Okay.
But if you're not, look, they don't have an association right now. There are lots of groups that would like to be that association. They don't have one now. But if you don't start working on it at some point, it's never going to arrive. But if you keep trying to pass rules that are saying you can't make more than this much money when they already make more than that much money, you're going to wind up in court again. Nobody's telling Nick Saban or Nick Saban's successor or the person who wants to be the next Nick Saban that he can only make a certain amount of money and it's less than the money he's making now. Nobody does that, nor should they. And so you can't, if you want to get the athletes to a certain level of work rules or playing rules or whatever, and a certain level of expenses in terms of what you expenditures in terms of what you spend on them, you have to deal with them. You can't just say, sorry, $20.5 million, it's all the money you can get out of us. Because we know right now, I mean, Kentucky just
right. I mean, maybe
player.
You know, I was going to talk with Michael DeCourcy or Mike DeCourcy. What do you go by? Your Twitter says Michael.
Either.
I've never
Mike,
called you Michael.
Mike,
your,
Mike pa- is my byline,
your parents
so.
Call you Michael. So go to TSN Mike. And but all right. Do you get any numbers that you know you can believe? Now it's $20 million for basketball, $40 million for football. It's
I don't know about those numbers.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to say. But I think when you have a player like Milan Momcilovic, who just left Iowa State for Kentucky
for more money
there
right?
yesterday. Yeah, for more money, no
yeah.
doubt. He went to the NBA draft, went through the process. Borderline chance he could have been one of the later players taken in the first round. But if he were, he wouldn't be making what they're reporting he will make at Kentucky, which is $6 million.
Right.
And
did BYU got seven last year. Somebody at Louisville, they say, $7 million this year. But
five, I think.
I don't. Maybe you have people. I don't. When people ask me, I said it's like asking me how many people the mob killed today. I don't. There's. I just people aren't going to say it, and they are haven't had to tell anybody, right? I mean,
right. They don't. Which again, if they had a collective bargaining agreement and
right.
they wanted players' salaries or compensation or whatever to be public, they could do that.
So what do you watch? What
do
you
want
to? I wish I can talk to you every Wednesday at this time and tell. It makes sense. So see if you can fit 20 minutes into your schedule. If not, I'll tape it some other time. Because that's like, okay, Mike, what do you know now you didn't know a week ago? They're going through this thing in Congress. What do you watch, even though you're retiring? Because I know you love college basketball. So
right.
What do you watch and what are you looking for that would change it? Because you've suggested what needs to be done, but there doesn't seem to be any push to do that.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, and so this will continue. And
right.
if this bill gets passed, and I don't know if it will or not, but because the Big Ten and SEC are against it, so I suspect that they'll prevail upon the legislators from
their
those states to
yeah.
not endorse it. But if it gets passed, it'll end up in court,
right.
because when the House settlement was passed, everybody rushed to, or not when it was passed, when it was nearing completion. Because it took a little while for the judge to finally sign the final papers. But it was supposed to go into place, they thought, in April of 24, they thought. April of 25, they thought. And so everybody was rushing to get their NIL deals done in advance of that. And then, of course, it didn't get approved till like almost August. So that gave more time to get NIL deals done. And now we get through that year wherein you had the 20.5 cap plus the NIL deals that went in before the cap.
There's no cap because they can't stop NIL. That somebody has said is not a cap. It's the bottom. But I don't know.
Well, it's the cap in the sense of what I, as the University of DeCourcy, can give an athlete or a series of athletes. But the other stuff, the NIL stuff, the type of NIL, the collective right. NIL that isn't necessarily a commercial or whatever endorsement, right. That you can't, it hasn't been capped. And I knew that if those deals started getting disapproved, that they would wind up in court again. So essentially they haven't been. There was one thing at Nebraska where a handful of players, football players.
They haven't been disapproved because they know that's just going to end up in court. So why go through the process? Because they know they're not legit.
They didn't get approved because the way they structured their disguise right. was too adjacent to the university.
All right, we've run out of time. It's out of control. And I'll call you every week to say, is it? Because everybody should just assume what's going on now is going to continue. Not that
yes.
you, it doesn't matter
yes.
what you want or don't want, right?
Yes.
Okay.
For the foreseeable future, depending on what happens with that bill, it will continue in this forum, yes.
All right. Thanks for the time, and I'm going to bother you to try to do this every week or other week because just to get an update on what you've heard. And because I don't – do you feel like in all the time you've covered sports, like I don't know anything, and I don't know how – there's no way I can get any information. to be more accurate.
I think you know more than you're saying. You know, I think you know.
I mean, I'm
more
guessing, yeah. But I'm saying, like, all right, you know. I can't judge a coach by saying he stinks because he's spending this amount of money and he didn't even know how to spend that money. Another coach has half the money and he's doing well. He should be the number one coach in the country because it's how well you spend the money.
Yes. And how well you coach the players.
But I don't know who that is because I don't know what the money is. So
I think it's pretty obvious who's got the money and who doesn't.
I know, but like at Kentucky, I'd fire the guy today. If you had $22 million, the team stinks. You're done.
Well, they did. They had half of the $22 million was spent on players who got hurt.
So okay, all right. Well, that's why we need you to as they say, give Homer a governor. We will talk all again. Right. Out of control.
Sounds good, huh?
We hope it ends, but right now, DeCourcy says it's still out of control, right?
Well, if that's the way, I don't think it's out of control. I think it just is what it is.
All right. That's the difference between you and I. And since I have you, will the U.S. get anywhere in the World Cup? I thought we stink, we being the U.S.
No, we don't stink. I mean, we just went out and beat Senegal on Sunday 5-3.
So they win their group and get to the final 16?
They absolutely should do those two things, yes. If they don't, it'll be a massive disappointment.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Mike DeCourcy, they say he's retiring. I hope not for this show. Next.
Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
My thanks to Mike DeCourcy for not retiring yet. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business for 130 years, Horicon Bank has helped Wisconsin businesses grow, doing banking differently since 1896. Commercial lending, remember. Today, that same approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community, bringing decision-making closer to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. Because when it comes to commercial lending, Horicon Bank gets the job done. Together, doing good for 130 years. And Window Nation, if your air conditioner never seems to turn off, worn out windows could be the culprit. Upgrade yours now during Window Nation's buy four, get four free sale. Imagine new energy efficient windows and getting half of them free. Plus, you could even get no money down and no monthly payments or interest for 2 years. Proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers. Book a consultation and ask how you could score a pair of Brewers tickets. Because Window Nation, a proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers. Visit WindowNation.com. Window Nation, also proud partner of Wounded Warrior Project. The analysis, not in progress, but late, is next.